Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Lori Kehoe. I'm back with another episode of Author's Corner, and we are thrilled to talk with Jimmy Presley again about his bloody Halloween. Be afraid. So, Jimmy, welcome to the show.
All right. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
It is. It's been a couple of months, been a minute since we talked to you last. So let's kind of touch base on, are you still living in the same place? Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. I'm still living between Blaine and Knoxville, Tennessee. So nice East Tennessee weather, and fall colors are starting to show. So it's nice.
I miss that. I tell you what, I miss the fall colors. We don't have the snow. Occasionally we have little snow, but I do miss those fall colors. So, still married, 4 kids. Everything's still good there? Good.
Yeah.
And so what are you doing these days other than writing?
Oh, that's it. I'm just being a dad still and writing, and that's it, you know. That's enough. I couldn't imagine having to work full time still and be a dad and try to write. But you know, some people do it. You know.
Yeah, it's not easy, I tell you that. But you know, kudos to you for being able to do that. To be the two most important things in your life, to be a dad and to be a writer. You know, I give you a lot of credit for that.
Ah, thank you. I appreciate it. That's what I live for now. That's it. So thank you.
So last time we talked a lot about how you became a writer, what your genre was, which is fantasy and horror. And we can go back into that, but I really want to talk about this new book you have coming out. Why don't you tell us about that?
Where can I start? Well, you know what? It came out last October. I think it was about the time I did this show last year. It may have been right before I did this show, actually. And it was kind of I was still touching up on it, but it was I'd done fantasy, and I was finishing up the second book in that trilogy. And I said, you know what? I want to do horror. And I thought about Stephen King and like even R.L. Stein, who does a lot of young adult books. And I said, I think I can do this. And that's how it started. It just I thought of a story with my kids sitting out by a fire pit, and I said, "Well, wouldn't it be scary if something was set here in East Tennessee, and I make up a town, and what if this guy got really mad at these kids for some reason, and then he ended up stalking them right around Halloween, and through all these small town events like their fall festival, and even at their schools, and while they're trick or treating on Halloween, and." And it just took off from there, and I've had a lot of people tell me about it on Facebook that have read it. I sent out a bunch of author copies and had a bunch of friends buy it, and they really like it. They say it's really Stephen King-ish and R.L. Stein. They use those exact names, which blew my mind. So, you know.
Wow.
It was fun. It was fun to come up with. It was a great story. I love it. I'm really happy with it.
How do you come up with the horror elements?
Well, you know, I didn't have a typical childhood. Nowadays you hear about parents that don't want to let their kids watch a lot of violent stuff or horror, or maybe let me reverse that. When I was a kid, that's what you heard. Nowadays it seems like people care less. And that's what I did. If I couldn't sleep at night, I went down to the den in my house, and we had HBO, and there would be a lot of horror movies on. I remember being as young as maybe 6 or 7. And I watched them, and it fascinated me. I mean, I knew at a young age it wasn't real, and it just fascinated me that you can put this stuff on film and make it look real and make people feel scared. And
mm-hmm.
I thought, that's what I always wanted to do. And then I think I talked about in our last interview, I made a lot of homemade movies based on real movies. I made my own versions of them as a kid. And me and my friends and neighbors, that's all we did as kids. We made our own horror movies. And I knew by middle school, I said, one day, I mean, it took a little longer than I wanted it to, but I said, I want to write horror. That's what I want to do. Yeah, so.
So do you ever find when you're writing horror, do you ever scare yourself?
Yeah. What scares me the most, honestly, is the way my mind works sometimes. I wonder, should I be thinking like this? But I'm apparently assured that it's perfectly normal to be able to come up with this stuff, and if you grew up watching or reading the genre. So, no, it doesn't really scare me. I just scare myself with some of the stuff I come up with, if that makes sense. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've done that, too, when I tried to write something, and I'm like, should I really be writing this and thinking this? But it makes for good story.
It does. I think you have to use your mind, and it's in your mind, sometimes it's going to tell you, I don't know if it's based on stuff you've watched or something that's happened in life for you, but for me, it is. It's all that stuff, and it's just like, you know what, I try to think I'm a good person, and I'm a fairly religious person, and I actually question myself, am I doomed as being a good person for writing this stuff? But I tell myself, no, it's innocent, it's fake, it's a story. You know, it's meant to kind of evoke that fear or anxiety or whatever the story may be about, adventure or drama. So that's what I tell myself. I have to tell myself that, you know, I'll be okay, and it's just fun. You know, just do it. Have fun with it.
I think that's the whole thing about writing, is having fun and seeing how far you can stretch it.
Yes.
I know that for myself, that I've questioned the same thing. How dark can you go in books, you know, from a religious background? But then I had one very well-known writer tell us that you can go as dark as the Bible goes, which is pretty dark when you read it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was told too, and that's what I tell myself. So there you go. Yeah.
So you have validation.
That's what it feels like to me, and I pray every night, God, please let this be okay, you know. So, and I mean it 100%. I'm scared. I don't want to make the big, God Himself mad, but it's just, that's what I feel like I have to do. I feel like I want to evoke those emotions, and it's just, that's the fun part. So, yeah.
Do you ever find those emotions when you're writing them? Does it ever? I mean, we talked about being scared, but what other emotions come out when you're writing stuff that's that dark?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, it's weird because I grew up and reading and watching that stuff, but there are times when I don't know if this answers the question, but it's just sometimes I'm like, I put myself in that situation, and and that's when I go there, when I'm alone writing, it's like, you know, I can feel it. Like, I've got this upcoming book, and I'm just going to mention this one scene because it's horror also, but there's this scene in the woods, and there's this legend around this town about, I'll just say, a scary figure that's paranormal, and I actually started writing that, and I actually thought about me being out there in this specific situation that I'm not going to mention yet right now, but I actually had to go outside and take a breath of air. So, I mean, I've scared myself. But it's not common for me, but that, you know, sometimes when I really get into it, you know.
I can't wait to read it, because when you feel something about a story, your reader is going to feel it 10 times more. So if you're scaring yourself with your story, imagine how your readers are going to react.
Well, that's what I hope. And I just want to note that when it scared me to that point, it's for this upcoming book I'm doing. It's going to be a series. A Bloody Halloween is going to be a series, kind of like R.L. Stine did with his Fear Street books, where all these stories take place in and around this same town. And, and it's the next story where those feelings came from, the next one. But this one, there's a lot of atmospheric stuff, and I'm sure we'll get into that stuff. But that's what moved me. It made me feel like it's the essence of what Halloween is for me, which is just the celebration, the fall coming in and watching your kids have fun. But then you add a little terror into that, so you what do you got then?
Yep, that sounds like it's going to be really good. So
thank you.
when we talk about all the movies we watched as kids, what movie, what horror movie stuck with you the most?
Yeah, you know, I've answered this 100 times probably to 100 people, and it's so funny. It changes. It changes. I think it just depends on my mood. I think they all did, if that makes sense. But I think Friday the 13th, the very first one that came out in 1980, and I was born in 1980, but I watched it at a very young age, probably by the time I was 5, and it's just the whole atmosphere of being alone in the woods, and they did all these first-person views of the killer watching them from the trees, and you knew they were kind of effectively doomed, and that's the one that probably I always come back to. It stuck with me the most, for sure.
So tell us about how you developed, and this is something that a lot of writers struggle with. How did you develop your villain?
Well, that's a weird one. That we were talking, I told you I talked about my kids. That's how the whole thing sparked. It was literally a conversation by the fire pit. And I said, you know what? This guy, no matter what I do, he's going to sound like another Michael Myers or another Jason. So I just, I had to put him in a, I had to change the events surrounding him that maybe, possibly, I can't say for sure, made him the way he was. And, you know, the epilogue of the book, it starts out with the villain as an older teenager, kind of a young adult, and a very traumatic event happens in his life. And it's not the usual story of, you know, the boy drowned, the mom's mad, or, you know, they're just evil. There was an event, but I tried to make it sound like something that had never happened before. And it was just so easy once I came up with that, once I knew that I kind of wanted it to be different, because no matter what, he's going to end up kind of the same. He's going to end up a serial killer. But, you know, the event is what kind of helped me define him. And I don't know if I'm allowed to give that away or should I give it away, but
that's up to you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. There was a he lived in a normal family, and I'll try to do this quick, but it was he had a good upbringing, it seems, from the opening. But his parents and his sibling were killed in a bad car wreck. And he ended up having to go live with his grandmother, which I'm going to explore more of that in part two, so it's going to be kind of a series. But once his parents died, he just snapped, and his whole life was taken away from him. He was such a good family boy. The town knew him. The town knew the family, and they were good people. But he just snaps. And I had a friend that read the opening chapter, and he actually got back to me immediately and said, okay, you got my attention. There's a naked man at a funeral home with dismembered bodies putting him in a car. You got my attention. And that's
yeah,
all
I think
say.
That
just
would. I think that
go ahead,
would.
Yeah.
No, I definitely agree with that. That would get my attention.
Yeah, and that's what I was going for. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to hit him hard, and then I'll explain all this later. And that's what I did, and apparently that worked, at least for a few people. So there you go.
Wow, that is quite an opening. As a matter of fact, could you read like the first couple of sentences to the book? I want to see how that starts out, how you start something like that out.
Yeah, I can. You know what? I don't have it with me. I can bring it up in a few seconds. I don't know how you want to fill that time void, but I have it here. I just don't have it open. I just have to.
That's okay. I mean, it's a dynamic opening. It's just one of the things as writers we find hard to do is to hook the reader. And that's one of the things we have to do is hooking the reader right away. With an opening like that, that is definitely a hook. Wow.
Yeah, it is, and I'll be honest with you. Maybe I'm not too prepared. I don't have it with me, and that's kind of bad because I didn't plan on giving too much away, and now I've changed my mind because I want to hook readers via the interview too, but I don't have it. Anything you want to know, I'll tell you, you know. So, yeah.
Well, that, you know, That definitely, like I said, I'm going to repeat myself and say that sounds like that's a great opening. So now where do you go from there? You have this great opening. Then
yeah.
What do you do next?
Well, you know, like all good things, it's got to slow down a little bit. I leave you hanging there. I'm like, okay, what became of this guy? You know, he ends up going to live with that grandmother I mentioned. And then all of a sudden, you fast forward 25 years to 1993. The opening of the book's 1978. You
mm-hmm.
fast forward to 1993. I wanted to set it in the 90s for, you know, specific reasons, because that's when I was a teenager, and that's when a lot of things influenced me. And a lot of people are doing stuff like that now, doing a lot of 70s and 80s stuff in movies
mm-hmm.
and TV shows. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do the 90s because that was my time. And that's where the book goes from the opening. You go to 1993, and I introduce you to the main character, Scott, and his siblings. And, you know, you kind of get to know the family and the town that they're in. And it's a small town named Robert's Grove. I named the town Robert after my stepfather, who passed away a couple of years ago. He was a big influence on me in my life. But that's where it goes. You kind of just get to know the family. But it's really a novella. It's kind of small. It's a smaller book. It's only 104 pages at an 8.5 by 5.5 inch size. But it's just, once it gets rolling after the introductions, I mean, the guy stays on. I'll just say this. The guy is following them everywhere. He ends up being everywhere they go. And so it really picks up. It slows down a little bit for that intro, but then it really picks up again.
So we talked about your inspiration being the movies and talking with your children around the fire pit. What else
mm-hmm.
influenced to bring this particular story out?
Well, I've always been a big fan of Halloween, and I've always been a big fan of retro stuff, and it just all kind of came together. I said, you know what, this is going to be in the 90s, like I said. It's going to be Halloween, because I think when people look at the year, everybody looks to Halloween. When spooky stuff happens or scary stuff, it just kind of, it's more enhanced around Halloween time. And
mm-hmm.
that's what we talked about at the fire, and so many other times I talked to my wife and a few other people. I'm like, you know, Halloween time is the time. And I just thought it'd be a great story it starts before Halloween, a couple of days before, and it builds up to it. And it's like as the holiday gets closer, things intensify. But I hope that answers your question. I don't know. You might need
mm-hmm.
more details than that, but. You know.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
When you're writing this scary book, what was the funnest part about writing this book?
Ooh. You know what? I killed myself when I brainstormed. I wrote the whole story down in little notes, and I said I cannot wait to get to the end. The last 7 or 8 chapters, maybe even the last 9 chapters, it's all a big chase thing. The guy follows him from one, and I don't mean like the beginning where he's kind of just lurking. Like through the first half in the middle of the book, he's lurking, and there's little events that happen. But the last bit, it's a big chase, and he chases them all over town and through the woods surrounding this town, finally back to his old house, the family house. And
mm-hmm.
that, I could not wait to get to that. That was the most exciting part, was writing this big chase, the game of cat and mouse at the end. So that was it for me, and I hope all the readers that have read it love that or will love it.
Very cool. What was the hardest part to write?
You know what? I don't think there was a hard part. I've written 2 other books before this I had finished, even though one was only published, and I also had written poetry. And I even submitted some stuff to a Bette Midler fan book, and I had a lot of rough times in that. But I'll tell you, this book just, it flew out. Like, I couldn't stop writing. My mind couldn't keep up with my hand, or my hand couldn't keep up with my mind. I don't know which, but I can't say. The hardest part may have been actually having to close it, you know, actually say,
mm-hmm.
okay, this is it. It's got to end now. So that may have been the hardest part.
So our main character is Scott. Tell us about Scott.
Well, you know, it's the modern era, so I don't want to get slapped for this, but he reminded me, and I'll tell you why in a minute, he reminded me a lot of me when I was a teenager. That's not how I intended to do it. I intended to make up a character, but the more I started writing him, I thought, this guy dresses like me. He looks like me. He kind of has a little bit of the attitude I had. It's a little different,
mm-hmm.
but he kind of likes the same music. And I know this is where I'm going to get hit. I know it's a bad habit, but, you know, I used to sneak outside to smoke cigarettes. It was the 90s, like everybody smoked, right? But I thought, God, this guy's me. This is what I used to do when I was a teenager, and he dressed like me. He listened to my music. He loved my movies. And that's the weird part. He's not me, because he's a lot tougher and more outgoing than I was at the time. But he just reminds me of me. But he loves his family, and he wants to do anything to take care of them, and especially his siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just a great all-around guy, though. As the readers will see, he loves, and when the time comes, I mean, he really steps up and has to do some. I mean, he has to make some hard decisions to get through a few days there, and. That's the main character. He's something. I love the character. He's my favorite character I've ever written now, officially. I have to say, he's my favorite character. So.
Very cool.
Oh.
So what did your kids think about the idea? We talked about, you know, they were the kind of the impetus for it. Have they actually read it, or is it too much
yeah.
for them?
Well, that's the thing. It started out, I was going to be really R.L. Stine-ish, and maybe even like Goosebumps, where I was going to write it, and it was just going to be a little kind of scary tale. But as I went along, I said, you know what, this is not good enough. I've got to intensify it. So maybe my older kids can read it, but the younger two, they were actually the bigger inspiration. They were the ones giving me ideas I could do. I probably won't let them read it now, but, you know, it got intensified, and I just started adding stuff from the movie. I mean, there's a little bit of gore. There's some swearing, cussing. You know, plus, like, it's the smoking thing I added, and everybody's so down on that. And it's just, I thought, you know what, I'm gonna intensify this a little. And I remember when I first posted it, a complete stranger bought it on Amazon. And I hope I'm not killing myself here, but he gave me 3 stars instead of 5. And he said, you know what, this is too family-friendly. And my jaw hit the floor. I said, family friendly with all this stuff going on? I said, what are they looking for, a complete gore fest, a smut fest, is what I said. I said, I'm going to have to get a little darker in the next one, I guess. But, yeah, so, you know, it's more for young adults now and older. So, you know, kind of, I'd start maybe like 15, 16 and up, I'd say. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you don't want that too gory for that age. I mean, enough gore to make it interesting, but I think that he was probably looking for something that was adult level.
Oh, yeah, and if he is listening out there, you know, I appreciate it. And I actually wrote him a little note back. I'm like, yeah. And I actually put a disclaimer. I'm like, if you're looking for, you know, Jack Ketchum books, then I'm sorry, this is not it. This is kind of in the middle. There's a little bit of intensity. But it's more like, you know, Fear Street. I want to say R.L. Stine again. It's right in the middle. I thanked him for being honest, and I said, but you may love my next book, because it is definitely going to be a lot darker. But anyway, yeah.
Well, look at J.K. Rowling. She started her first book off more for children, and as her books progressed, they got darker. You know,
yeah.
So it may be the same thing, that you'll start off with a smaller age group, but as your readers grow, so will your stories.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought, you know, sometimes something happens, and if this character does come back, I mean, I'm planning a sequel. I'm not sure how it's going to work yet, but I thought, you know, if he was mad in the first one, he's going to be really, really upset. And, I mean, things are just going to have to get worse naturally. And that's kind of where Harry Potter went. You know, obviously this stuff happened, and finally the main antagonist was like, you know, he came along, and it just really got bad. So, yeah, that may be the same route I'm going down. So,
very cool. It sounds like it's going to be a great series.
Thank you. I hope so.
Oh, I think so. So, do you think, I know we've talked about Bette Midler and the influence she's been in your life. Have you put a little bit of her into your books?
Well, that's funny you should mention that. We got to do it. We need to do an interview someday about my second Oracle Chronicles book. There's a character in there that I actually solely based on her, and I hope I don't get sued, but I tried to change it up just enough where people get the idea that this is her, but it's not her. But you know, mm-hmm. that's it. You know, she influences me a lot. Not politically. A lot of people seem to be mad at her nowadays for her political views, but just as an entertainer and the stuff she stands for in general, she's fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, I had to put a little bit of her. So, yeah, there's a queen. Her name is Bette. So I don't know if I should have changed that, but it's not Bette Midler. It's just similar, But, yeah, Bette's in Oracle Chronicles, too, by the way.
Well, we can talk about Oracle Chronicles now. I mean, we've got a little more time. But I wanted to focus on Bloody Halloween. So, but if you
yeah.
want to go ahead and go into the Chronicles, we can. Your whole journey as a writer is what's important.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's just, I can talk about both, and you ask me what you want to know, but I'll tell you, it's just fantasy and horror. I talk about to everybody. I say it's just, you know, even in real life, I mean, in drama, the thing about writing is you can kind of make stuff up, and in horror,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in fantasy is like completely made up world and things that just can't happen in our life, and that's what I love about it. And with horror, you can just create the scary situations, maybe some that you'd be scared to be in yourself. I mean, most people would be, but it's just maybe you're kind of putting yourself in that situation. But that's what I like. It's just, I don't know, but it's not the end. I've already started a drama, too, that takes place in, it's going to be in the 90s again, but it's there's no psychopathic killer after you. It's not a fantasy. I'm excited about it, too, and we'll talk about that someday. But it's just, that's the
mm-hmm.
thing about writing is, whether we talk about a Bloody Halloween or the Oracle Chronicles, I just love inventing and creating stuff and pulling the emotions out. That's the best part.
How do you do that? How do you pull the emotion out?
Well, you know, I don't even know if I really know how. It's just you create the characters, and then for me, it's so fun to have, like, a group of characters. I'll generally have 2 to 4 characters in every chapter, and they're together, and they kind of feed off each other. And I think how they feed off each other and how they're reacting to the scenario they're in, I think that's how you get the emotion from people, whether they're scared and you actually care enough to fear for them, or
mm-hmm.
they make a silly joke and you actually laugh out loud while you're reading the book. That's what I go for, and I think that's what draws out the emotions, you know, just writing and creating characters that people will like. So, you know, that's what I aim for anyway.
Mm-hmm. So you go from fantasy to horror to drama. How do you turn your mind off to go into another world? Because that's got to be a plan or something. How do you do that so you can totally go out of your horror into your fantasy, or go out of both into your drama?
Yeah, that's the weird thing about me. My mind, I don't think it has a switch. It just kind of does its own thing and says, you know what, I've got this great idea, Jimmy, and you're going to write it. And I may be inspired by a movie or a song or someone I talk to, but that's how it happened. It's just so weird. I mean, I can sit down and write a little bit of Oracle Chronicles 3 or the next book in that Bloody series, or even this
mm-hmm.
drama, just writing the notes, and it just happens. I can just switch on and off. It just happens. It's almost like being an actor, I guess, where you play scene, you do the scenes, and you just naturally do it. I don't know if that sounds weird, but it's not hard
mm-hmm.
for me. It just happens. Yeah, it just happens on its own.
That means that you have a lot going on in your brain, and that's, you know, a very rounded personality. So that's great.
thanks. Sometimes I wonder if my mind works too fast. Sometimes I have to sit down and I have to think, my gosh, what was I doing? What did I come in this room for? You know, my mind just works so fast. But yeah, it seems to help with the writing, but in the rest of my life, it may not be so good. But yeah, it's interesting.
How do you balance being a dad with the writing? How do you find the time to write and yet still to be a dad for four kids?
Yeah, that's tough. I remember the last time we talked, I kind of pushed about how I had to stay up late. And Sherry, my wife, was nice enough to understand, you know, that's the only time he has to work. So she would get up with the kids in the morning, you know, and get them off to school so I could sleep in a little bit. And then when they come home, you know, I kind of take over and do my part too. And that's kind of how it still is. Or on the weekends, if they're playing outside, you know, I'll be like, this is my only chance. I got to write now. And I do it. But that's still pretty much the same as it was. I'm a dad while I have to be. But if I get those breaks or late at night again, that's when I write. So that's how I do it. And I hope it works. But it seems to work in our life.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. So yeah, I mean that's it.
Well, for your kids, you talked about your kids giving you idea for Bloody Halloween, so they must really be a part of, you know, being proud of their dad being a writer to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I've stepped down and explained to them, you know, I'm not like J.K. Rowling, that's a good example. I'm not like any of these books that they know, or Bad Kitty or whatever. I write my books, but I don't have a publisher, and I explained what that meant. I just self-publish. And I said, just because that's what I want to do. And I said, I don't care what kind of writer I am. I want to get better, and I'm going to get better. I think I am better than I was 2 years ago and a year ago,
mm-hmm.
but I just have a lot of stories to tell, and they know that. And they've seen all those movies that I talked about earlier that I made when I was a teenager and even in my early 20s. They just know I'm a really creative person, and maybe they got some of that in their genetics or this really understanding, but they enjoy it. They love helping me come up with stuff, and they just do it naturally, and it feels good. And I've actually, in everything I've written, you wouldn't know it because, you know, I juice it up my own way, but a lot of that stuff they gave me ideas for, especially in A Bloody Halloween, a lot of the scenes that happen, not necessarily like kill scenes or gore scenes, but just things that happen in scares and tying in a lot. There's a lot of Easter eggs and nods to real horror movies in this book. I mean, there's probably, I think, 17 movies that there's little things where I nod towards something real. And they gave me ideas. They're like, you could do this or that, Dad. You know, and it'll look like, they'll get it. It comes from that movie. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, some of these are really obvious and some aren't, but that's what they do. They just love it. They just love it.
Well, you are blessed if your kids are that into helping you, because then they become a part of the book too. That's great.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, I've even named characters after them. I'll change the name a little, and they're like, so I'm in that book? And I'll be like, no, it's not you guys, but you know what? You inspired me, so this is like an honor to you or a tribute, you know, and even the family size in A Bloody Halloween, it's two parents and four kids. And the family setup is generally how our family set up and what our daily routine is. It's kind of the same in the book. And the dad is even a writer who is writing a book called, you know, similar to the Oracle Chronicles. So, you know, they inspire me a lot. They're in there, and I try to honor them and a lot of family members the best way I can.
So what are the struggles that you find in self-publishing?
Oh, my gosh. I must sound so boring, but you know what? It must be the same. Some people just seem to have a knack. It's the promoting and the selling. I think that's the hardest part because, you know, when you go through a publishing house, it's like they do all that for you. And
mm-hmm.
I have to not only write the book, but I have to edit the book, which is fine. A lot of writers prefer to edit their own books. And then the publishing house will have someone look at it for them. But that, for me, is the hardest part, is I have to do it all, but the promoting is the absolute worst. I have tried for years, 2 years now, And I'm not successful, so I've made a lot of friends that are either bloggers or writers themselves, and I take advice from them, and I'm just trying to step it up a little and figure out how I can do it better. But there's another story to that. I don't want to take all day, but if you've got a few minutes,
we got
I can
time.
Explain what I mean. Okay. Another reason it's harder for me, I didn't want to get too personal because last time I got really emotional, but I won't get emotional this time. But I have, we had talked about it before, the panic and anxiety attacks, and for the last 9 months, I've actually had agoraphobia real bad, and it's not just the agoraphobia where you're kind of scared to go out or you have to hurry. I mean, I've been really housebound for about 9 months. I haven't been out. I haven't been out off my property in 9 months. And
wow.
You know what? So yeah, so that's why I have to rely on social media to promote, and I must not be going about it just right yet. I'm still trying to fine tune that, but I can't go out to conventions or bookstores or libraries and promote my work. So I solely have to rely on social media, and that's why I'm thankful for people like you too, because people are like, hey, you know, Jimmy talked to Laurie on Blog Talk Live, and it's like, wow, okay, we're going to listen to this. So it's kind of a step up. It's not just me posting about it. But that's why it's so difficult. That's why it's more difficult, I think, for me. That's what I meant for that. I'm not trying to ramble on. It's just that's why. So there I am. Here I am trying.
Have you ever thought about going traditional?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. I apologize.
Have you ever thought about going traditional publishing?
I thought about it. I know certain groups and companies do like yearly submission things, and I've done that a few times. I generally don't hear back from them or so far. It would be nice if I had an author friend or you know, that could say, hey, you know, in case I miss it myself, there's a competition going on now, or they're taking submissions now. But, you know, once you self-publish, you know, Amazon, I don't know exactly what their policy is. I think they want to keep rights to your books so they can still make their money. But so you'd probably have to come with a deal. So, I mean, but as far as future books, I would love to keep submitting, you know, and hope that someone will pick me up for something. I mean, that's my hope and dream. This is the only thing I can do now with my life and to make the book for my family, and that's, I feel like it's my responsibility. I had a friend, Noelle, she told me the other day that I think a lot of dads feel like it's their responsibility to carry the family, and I do, and my wife's, you know, she's got a hurt back, and she's been having a lot of blood pressure and heart issues, so she hasn't been able to work as much, and so we're really struggling, and I think I'm a good enough writer to where, yeah, people will like this if they'll just give it a chance. So yeah, I want to keep going. I want to keep trying. I strive to be published by a real publishing house someday.
Well, we're glad to help out in any way we can to get your writing out, because it sounds like it's going to be a great book. So if this interview, I'll post it all over. I have about 20 different sites that I'm going to post it on, and I do hope it gets you some exposure so people can read about this great book that's coming out. And to see, I want to read it just to see how dark you go.
Yeah, well, you know what? Like I said, you haven't seen nothing yet. And I think that guy, again, he's going to remain anonymous. But on Amazon, just him simply saying this was family-friendly horror made me think, yeah, I got to step it up a little, and I want to anyway, just to see what I can do. So I hope you will check it out.
Oh, definitely. So we know that coming up, you're still working on the Oracle Chronicles. So you've got the third book coming out.
Yeah, the second one just came out in July. It took me a long time to finish that, just with the different things going on in my life. So I've just started. I'm still on kind of the opening chapter of that book. So that's where I'm going with that. There's a trilogy, and then this series that takes place in and around Robert's Grove, where a bloody Halloween took place. So there's that, and then this road trip drama. It's kind of a coming of age thriller. It actually ends up becoming a thriller, but it's going to be intense. I said, I'm just going to go full forward. This is what teenagers go through. This is what teenagers do these days. This is what they have to learn these days. It's going to be hard hitting. This one I might get a little bit of heat for, because I'm not going to hold back on that one. So, yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of stuff coming up. If I can just focus and do it, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be quite ambitious. You've got, so far, 3 books you're talking about, 2 series. So that's that's a lot.
Yeah, and I feel so accomplished. But I remember when I first talked to you, or when we did the first interview, I had just the Oracle Chronicles out, and the Oracle Chronicles 2, it sat in a state of edit for 2 years, and I just finally jumped back into it last summer, and then I stopped again, and that's when my kids and me were talking at the fire. And I said, I want to just do this little horror book. It's going to be a little short one, and I whipped that out quick. It was so easy for me. And so that's why I knew I was going to do a series there. But, yeah, I mean, it's ambitious, but I feel so accomplished compared to the last time we talked, because I've got a lot done, even though in several cases it took a long time. And the Oracle Chronicles 2, it took, I guess, 5 or 6 years, in all honesty. I don't know what I said about that earlier, but it's been years in the making, and it's finally done, and I'm really, really proud of it.
So we were talking a little while ago about cover artists. Tell us about the cover artist for Bloody Halloween.
I'm so glad you asked, because I was going to try to throw this in at the end. But my friend, her name is Shell Marie, and if you look on the back of a Bloody Halloween or on the inside cover, there's her website. She is a friend of mine from Alaska. We met in a horror movie group, and we've become pretty close. I told her about the book. I said, I've got this Halloween book coming out. And just suddenly she jumps up, and she's like, you know, I paint. And I'm like, you paint? I said, well, I've got this book cover idea, and I had a little sketch of it, because I'm no artist in that manner. And I showed her a copy of it. And she said, I think I could actually paint this. And she did it. And she had asked me questions about what time of day it was or what kind of view you want. And she changed it up. She altered it. And I fell in love with it. I like that kind of art and that paint, that, the way that paint looks. See, I don't even know technical terms for painting, so forgive me, Shell. But, she did it. And I said, you know what, I'm going to put this on the cover for sure. And I told her, I said, you know, I self-publish. I don't make any money really on this. I said, unless I become a big seller, I said, can I just give you artist credit for it, cover art credit? And she agreed with that. And so every time I share it, you know, I have to put, you know, the cover art by Shell Marie. She did fantastic. And I hope everybody else, you know, loves the art, because she put a lot of time into it. And if you look at it close, you can see the killer. It's over his shoulder. He's right in the front, the foreground, looking out over the little town of Roberts Grove, and you can see the kids kind of running through the field.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it captured the essence really well of that, the essence of the story, what I wanted. He's watching them all the time, and it's Halloween time, it's fall, you see the jack-o'-lanterns, the pumpkins, and she caught that. So there you go. She did great.
By the way, since I do have it up on Amazon, I'm going to read just a couple of passages, because we were asking about the opening. And the prologue is, on a dark October night in Roberts Grove County, a storm blows in from the south. It was more than just a rainstorm. It was a storm of carnage that would haunt this town for a long time, many times over. That's a great introduction. And I'm just going to read a little bit of the next paragraph so that everybody understands what we're talking about, how when a reader says, you've got me, on that rainy Halloween night at the Roberts Grove County Morgue in East Tennessee, the 18-year-old, now stripped naked, exited the side door. He retrieved the bodies he'd come for from the morgue as quickly as he could. The young man looked at the small car he had taken from his grandmother and wondered how he'd fit all 4 bodies in a small car. And I'm not going to read any more, but that's a great introduction.
Well, thank you. You know what? Just hearing that gave me the chills. And I wrote it. That's the scary part. I haven't reread that.
It is. It's a great introduction.
Well, thanks. And I hope the rest of the story captures people like that, because I remember writing, I must have written that about 6 times. And you know what? I actually simplified it, because I had this much more elaborate version of that. And I said, you know what? This sounds better. And I had totally forgotten about that since I edited it last year. I haven't really looked back. So, yeah. Wow.
Boy, if that doesn't get you, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
So are you still looking for cover? Are you still looking for cover artists for the other books?
Yes, definitely. If anybody has any ideas about who I can contact that'll either do it just for credit or cheaply, you know, or work with me on paying for it, I'd be glad. I know Shel Marie, who did the cover for A Bloody Halloween, is going to try to help me when she can. And I'm not putting her down at all, but if anybody else can help me as far as other books and future books, I would gladly accept it.
So we'll put that out to the universe and to Facebook, to all of the cover artists that we have on our connections. If you're looking for a client, we have one here. So, boy, that really was – that stays with you, that opening.
Yeah, I really – you – it's pretty bad when you've got me wanting to read my own book, because that's what you did. And I'm not trying to be boastful or anything. I'm not boasting at all. And I know you're not. It's just, yeah, that was, that really did get my attention too. And it really makes me want to write the sequel even more. I think you may have just inspired me to go ahead and try to get that done. So thank you. Yeah.
Well, I am going to get me a copy of it so that I can read it, because I'm definitely intrigued by it. So that will be my next step, is to get my own copy. But it's a great start. I can't wait to see where you go from here.
Thanks. I love it. It's I mean, it sticks with the kids through most of the book. It gets to a point where there it's kind of like Friday the 13th, where they were out in the woods and there was no help. There was no police nearby and no adults. And that's kind of where it gets to, even though they're in a town and the initial terror is right there for everybody to see, yet no one sees it. But at the end, there's just no help for them, and they have to kind of make a stand. And I love that. I love the way the story flows. I'm going to go ahead and put this out here. I'm probably killing myself again, but in the editing process, I told you I have to do all of it by myself. I apparently missed chapter 9. There were several typos, nothing bad, I think 4 or 5, that I need to fix. But other than that, this story, I think everybody that's read it really likes it, and I think it flows good. I'm really proud of it, and I know I've already said that, but... yeah, it blows my mind that it literally started as a conversation around a fire pit, a campfire, and it was a little scary story, and it just inspired me so much that it became a physical thing that people can get, even if it wasn't through a publishing house. I'm really proud, and I want you to get to know those people in that town, and there will be more to come, so you're going to get to know them and the town, I promise, anybody that reads.
Well, what would you say, for our last few minutes that we have here, to an author who wants to write, to any author, whether they want to write horror, whether they want to write fantasy, what advice would you give?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing I've always said. You just have to trust yourself and be yourself, and that's it. Just have fun. I mean, I think I even told you that. Those exact words last time. Just do it. Just write the story that's in your head. And it took me a long time and the help of a literary professor, believe it or not, to get me on the right track with my first Oracle Chronicles book. I was not a very good writer. And I think I'm good enough now to where I can sell books. It just takes time and effort, and they can do it too. Anybody that wants to do it can do it. Just write your story down. You know, get on Word. It'll tell you your basic mistakes you need to fix as far as grammar goes, and just, you know, have fun with it. Take your time. Don't hurry. And you can do it.
I agree.
So
what's the best way that readers can get a hold of you if they want to know more about Jimmy Presley?
Well, you can contact me directly on Facebook.com/ Jimmy Presley. There's no space. And the J and the P are capitalized, so it's Jimmy Presley. It's P-R-E-S-S-L-E-Y. And if you contact me there, I can give you my author page. I just recently got it an official name for it. It was just an ID number. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't memorized the actual name yet. I know it's like James W., I think Jimmy hyphen Presley, author. But if you message me on my Facebook, I can tell you where to go for my other books and works.
Very good. Well, we're looking forward to that. We'll do another interview in a few months and see where you're going. Once you get the drama book finished, it would be fun to touch base and see how far you've come.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I'm really excited about that story. Can I talk about it for a second? I don't know how long we have
left. You sure can.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've got a lot of family. And like I said early on, I'm a religious person, but I think in order to tell a good story, you can't hold back. You have to kind of tell it like it is or how it would be if people are in this situation. And that's what this road trip story is going to be. It's going to be these – I'll give a little bit of the detail. There's kids. They have a troubled life at home, so they decide to take a road trip just to get away from the small town that they feel like they're stuck in, which, you know, a lot of kids go through that and say, one day I'm going to get out of this town. Well, these kids decide to do it at a younger age. I mean, they're older teens, maybe 16, 17, but they still aren't ready for the world. When they go out, they don't have money or nothing, so they have to figure out a way to get by while they're on the road. And they end up coming across, some unpleasant people who end up, it's going to be more psychological than horror. So maybe there's going to be a horror element, but the book's going to build like a drama. I mean, it's going to be really dramatic and coming of age. These kids are going to learn how to be adults real fast, but also how to deal with a traumatic experience that comes their way. So I'm really excited about that one. I really feel like it's going to be fun, and God knows, I know how they feel. I mean, I've been through a lot of the same stuff they're going to go through. So there you go. That's coming soon, hopefully within the next year.
When that one comes out, we'll do another interview and we'll talk about that one. But good for you, Jimmy. It sounds like you're really going places, and I'm happy to see from last time we talked to now how you've been growing, and looking forward to seeing what you have to do in the future.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, and I've got a few friends, especially, that I've met. I don't know how long I have. Do I have long enough to thank a few people?
You've got about 7 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to take all the 7 minutes, so just in case you have another question. But I've made a few friends, besides my family, of course, they're first. My mom and aunt, my Aunt Julie and my mom Debbie, and my sister Carrie and Sarah, they've never, ever wavered. Even when it took me over 10 years to get the first Oracle Chronicles published, they always backed me up. And my aunt is just a huge fan of the Oracle Chronicles. She loved it, and she doesn't even read fantasy. She's never read it. And I think initially she read it just because it was mine, but she said she loved it. And so I thank her for that. And they always, always give me advice. Like, you know, I've been going through a time lately, or a lot of people do. I just wanted to kind of give up and say I just can't do it because I can't promote it. I can't sell it. I can't get it out to the audience. But, you know, I've got friends and those family members I mentioned, like, they're pushing me. They're pushing for me, and they're promoting for me just because they know what it means to me, and they know what kind of person I am, and that just shows what kind of people they are. I'm so lucky. I'm blessed. And
well, actually,
you know,
you're blessed because we have a caller on the line, so I'm going to bring the caller on. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi.
What would you like to say to Jimmy?
I came in a little bit late, but my question is about the trilogy, the third book. I'm just wondering what kind of where is that on the third book?
The third book, the Oracle Chronicles?
Yes.
Yeah. What did you want to know about it? I'm sorry, my signal's going bad.
I was just wondering when you think it might be close to coming out.
Yeah, well, I wanted to take a few. I don't want to say I wanted to take a break from it, but as I talked about it with Lori on here, that it took me so long for the first two to come out that I'm definitely going to be always going to be working on it in the background. And I hope, you know, like I said, with this other drama book I'm doing, in the next year I want to have the Oracle Chronicles 3 out, and within the next year that coming of age kind of drama out. So, I mean, I'm looking sometime within the next year.
Okay. The first two were great books. The first one was obviously a cliffhanger book, and, you know, it's like you can't wait for the next one. And then
yeah.
Now two's out, and I'm just looking forward to the third one.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was just talking about with Mom.
And your Bloody
Julie,
Halloween. Sorry. Go ahead. Your Bloody, Bloody Halloween book is, that's a good little book, too, that had a lot of fun.
Well, thanks. I had a lot of fun writing them. Yeah. Yeah, I hope you felt like I was talking about, where you could kind of feel the Halloween spirit and you could feel the family spirit, but also the sense of that it's going to get worse and worse and worse as it goes along, that it got worse for those kids and they finally had to take a stand. So I just hope that's what you felt and that's what you
I
got
did.
Out of it. Yeah.
That's a great book, and it's a good little lesson for some people in it. So I just want you to keep at your writing because I enjoy it.
Actually,
thank
we have
you.
Another
really
caller on
it.
The line. Jimmy, we got really
okay.
A few minutes, but we got another caller on the line, so I want to get those calls in. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I just recently finished Bloody Halloween by Jimmy Presley. I'm sorry, I'm getting in a little late here, too, but... I wanted to know if you had plans on perhaps a sequel to the book.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what I was just talking about. Not long ago, I plan on making a series out of the book, but it's going to involve different people in the community. But there is going to be a direct sequel to Bloody Halloween. Yeah, and I hope that'll be one of the books that, you know, maybe I'm pushing for, say, in the next year for all three books, but... with the time I have, I hope to get all three of those out, including, a direct sequel to Bloody Halloween.
I absolutely loved the book.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That means a lot because you really work hard at this stuff, and you just want people to like it and want to read it, and that's all that matters to me. It's not about money. It's not about fame. It's just I want people to enjoy the story, so I really appreciate that.
Your storytelling was great. It was really great, too. I mean, like the details, I was able to really, you know, immerse myself into the book because all the details, like, put me there with the characters, and I really enjoyed the characters. I thought it had an almost Stephen King-ish feel to it. I've always loved the stories about the groups of kids that, you know, go up against something spooky or have to solve something, you know, and then in this case they're in some serious danger at the same time.
Yes.
But I thought it was a lot of fun, and like I said, I really like the style because it put me in the book with the characters. I could feel like you know, the atmosphere. It seemed like I knew if the air was cold, and it just, you know, I really felt like I was in there with the characters, and I just thought it was a super fun
thank
book.
You.
I liked it a lot.
Oh, that's what I was aiming
for. So see, Jimmy, you touch people with your books.
Well, that's all I want to do in the first place. It'd be nice to make a few dollars, but the number one goal is to feel what I feel I want you to feel, and that's what I love, and I'm thankful for them for saying that, and I really, really appreciate that. That makes me feel good, because that's all I can do. That's all I want to do. So thank you all so much.
You bet. Thanks,
Jimmy.
Well,
that's all the time we have. Mm-hmm. I thank you for the callers who called in, and Jimmy, thank you for the time that you spent with us. We're going to do this again. We'll have Jimmy on again when he gets the next book done. But in the meantime, get your copy of Bloody Halloween in time to read it for Halloween. And Jimmy will be talking to you soon.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.